It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? Glad that you've joined us today. We're in the book of Romans. Again, we're kind of doing a survey of Romans. We've studied it every verse, and now we're kind of isolating on some very important areas, and we've been in the sixth chapter for a little while, but we're going to probably finish it today and then move on into the seventh chapter and then finish the book and get on to the next study. But it's so important, and it's been such a period of time that took that we have looked at the book of Romans. I wanted to kind of do this survey. And so please open your Bibles to Romans chapter 6, verse 14 is where we're going to start today. Romans chapter 6, verse 14. And so as you're doing that, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. And if you'd like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois 62341. If you'd like to call us, our phone number here at the church is 217-847-2717. If you'd like to visit our website, it's www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. That's parkviewbiblechurch.org. And if you would like to email us, it's parkviewbible@gmail.com or parkviewbiblechurch@gmail.com, whichever that you would prefer. Hope that was enough time now for you to open your Bibles, if you possibly can today, and we'll continue with this wonderful study. Romans chapter 6, verse 14. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness? But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men, because of the infirmities of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, being made free from sin, and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness, and the end everlasting life. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God's eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. What wonderful verses of Scripture. Let's begin with prayer before we start the study today. Father, thank you that we can just open your precious word up and enjoy it. Just guide and lead us today that we can learn from your precious word. And we know, of course, the first is we must be born again. We must be saved. We must come by faith to you and be born again. Your son Jesus died on the cross. He shed his blood. He died there for our sins. And we need to believe that and come by faith to you. And the Holy Spirit brings us to that point. And Father, I thank you that it's not our responsibility. The only responsibility we have is to say yes. And so please that all that are listening today will say yes and follow after you and begin that wonderful walk that we enjoy. So please, dear Lord, guide and lead, touch every heart today, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, a survey, and I know this sixth chapter has been pretty intense here as far as the verses of Scripture that we've covered in the last couple of times that we've been together, but it is so important that we see and understand. And so as we look at these Scripture verses here, we look at the words we've looked at in this past time. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves be dead indeed to sin, alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness and sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of unrighteousness. Now that's the section, verse 11 through 13, right above where we read. Yield means to present for service, and we need to do that serving the Lord Jesus. But yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead. And so we need to do that, to present ourselves not only as forgiven sinners, but as one that are alive from the dead. Let's live as Christians. What a wonderful opportunity we have. Only a born-again believer, and again, as we've talked in the past on my prayer list, I begin, first of all, that those that are listed there, and many of them are saved, many of them are not saved. And first of all, I pray for salvation for all those that have rejected the cross or in the Lord Jesus Christ, or they have chosen to just stay away from it for this period of time. Maybe they've not heard it clearly enough, and yet, Father, please, that you would just open my mouth and help folks to do that. You know, we need to pray that. That needs to be our prayer, that folks will be born again. And then, once they're saved, then the joy of being a Christian, and here's what you can possess as a Christian. You can have contentment. You know, people today are not content. And with that contentment is a peace. And with that peace, you'll find wisdom and understanding that you have never seen before, that only comes through you coming by faith to Jesus and beginning that work right there. So I just ask that you really understand these precious words, come by faith to the Lord Jesus, call upon Him for salvation, and begin that wonderful, wonderful walk. And it is, God gives us power to have the victory. And that's what we're talking about here. For sin shall not have dominion over you. That's what verse 14 says. This follows the verses that we read just above there. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body. And the opportunity we have for the first time is that we have the ability and the strength to turn away from that wickedness and that sin, that control that it had on our lives before. And now we have reasons that for ye are not under the law but under grace. Now, what a wonderful opportunity to be under grace and not under the law. You see, the law condemns. It's not that we're not to try to keep the law and walk by the law. It's not that at all. But it's that the law cannot save. And so if you're trying to save yourself by being good and keeping the law, you're going to fail. And so I ask that you would look to the Lord Jesus Christ for your salvation. And then you're going to be, you can when you come by faith and trust in Him, you're saved by grace. You're no longer bound by the law. And we've got several verses of Scripture talking about this here in this very near future here. And so as we look at the joy and the words that are present before us here, and so as we look at the 15th verse, it says, "What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace?" And the words are so clear, God forbid. Are we under the law of Moses? No, we are under grace, the Lord Jesus Christ and His salvation that He offers and gives to us freely if we'll just come by faith. And the question then, does this give us a license to sin? And the answer is right there. It's very clear. It says, God forbid. The remainder of the chapter is going to give us the kind of the full answer to this question. And so as we look at verse 16, it says, "Know ye not to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey? His servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness." See, now that we're born again, now that we're saved, we have the opportunity of the obedience unto righteousness. But it is yielding yourselves, and that is an a responsibility that we have to yield ourselves unto the Lord. And once we yield ourselves, then the joy begins, the excitement begins to be a born-again, saved believer in Jesus Christ and to be a Christian, truly a Christian. Now, you'll notice that that name is very, very misused. It's to the point of being abused. And I want you to understand that, because you are no Christian unless you have come by faith to Jesus Christ. Now, that's not me. That is the doctrine of this church, and that's how I believe. But it's not. That doesn't make it right. What makes it right is the Word of God. The Word of God, the very text that tells us about heaven and hell, is the very Word that tells us how to get there, how to get to heaven, or by rejecting how to get to hell. And so I ask you that you will listen carefully and open your precious Word and search it and study it, because there are so many scripture verses that we went over and over again that tells us that there's only one way of salvation, and that is through and by the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, if you are questioning that right now, well, just move over a couple pages here to Romans chapter 10. And let's start here in verse 7 is fine, 6 is fine. Let's start with 6. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say, not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is, to bring Christ down from heaven, or who shall descend into the deep, that is, to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is, the word of faith which we preach. This is what you need to respond to and listen to, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made into salvation. For the Scripture says, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You see, it's all about the heart. Now, let's come back, because the 17th verse gets right into that. The 17th verse, you know, the 16th verse is telling them, know ye not, who ye yield yourselves to, good or to evil. That's your choice. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. That's exactly what I just read in Romans chapter 10. And start with that 8th, 9th verse, read down through verse 13. And there are many, many, many other areas of Scripture that speak the same words. And you need to see and to understand that's what it's talking about here. But God be thanked that ye were servants of sin. Every person that's ever been born was a servant of sin until they have come by faith to Jesus. You may still be a servant of sin, but ye have obeyed. You see, Paul is talking to Christians here. So he's telling them what they used to be. And I thank God that you're not that anymore, but that ye have obeyed from the heart that which form of doctrine which was delivered you, the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. What beautiful words. So please, please don't miss that. But God be thanked. You know, Paul thanks God that the Roman believers who had been servants of sin had become obedient to the cross of Christ through salvation. You know, before salvation, we were slaves to our sin nature. It says that form of doctrine which was delivered you. What is that? The doctrine is the form of grace. It was delivered unto us. We believed this, and the grace is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. It's God's grace. It's an unmerited favor that God has shown towards us. So don't miss it. They were delivered a doctrine, the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection. I'm delivering unto you today the doctrine, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus, the gospel. Believe, my friend, that he died for you. Please, please believe that. To be free from sin. Now we are a bond servant of righteousness, to be a servant to righteousness. What a wonderful, wonderful opportunity to be saved, to be born again. And then 18th verse, being then made free from sin, we become the servants of righteousness. Because when we come by faith to the Lord Jesus for the first time, and this freed from sin denotes what is called eradication. Eradication of the old nature, the eradication of the principle, it's gone. Our bodies will not be redeemed until the redemption of the body at Christ's second coming, and that second coming is not when he plants his feet on the earth. That is when we call what we call the rapture, the church, and that takes place prior to the seven-year tribulation. Right now, we're in the church age, and when the church age comes to a close, God's going to call home every believer. He's going to call home every believer. And those that have died in the Lord Jesus Christ, their graves will be opened, and they will be reunited with their soul and body, and they'll have a glorified body. And if we are alive, if you're born again and I'm born again and we're alive, we will follow them. After those graves are open, we will follow them up into heaven, into the home of our God, and spend eternity with him. What a wonderful opportunity that's going to be. And so, but understand that right here and now, we can be made free from sin. For the first time, we will have an opportunity and ability to turn away from sin and to righteousness. Prior to this, we may try to live right and live good, but righteousness is not there. It can't be there without the presence of our God in our heart. And so please come by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 19, I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of the flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. There's a turning point here. There's a necessity to turn, because prior to this we've had no opportunity. Now, as we're born again, that old flesh, we still live in that flesh, and that old flesh has desires. But we have an opportunity, as 19 says here, I speak after the manner of men because the infirmities of your flesh. Understand that. As ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity. Understand that. That's exactly who we are. Even so now yield your members servants to righteousness and to holiness. For the first time, we have a power, we have an ability, an opportunity to do that. And so please, you know, we are in the bond service either to sin, to the devil, or unto God. Rome was full of slaves, and freedom was very, very hard to come by. And Paul uses something here that's very easy to understand, and they understood that. And so men likes to think, you know, he is independent, but he is not independent. And let's read chapter 8 as we move forwards here with some wonderful verses. Chapter 8, verses 32 through 36. Romans chapter 8, verse 32. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, For thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep to the slaughter. This is a tremendous verse of Scripture to understand how that our God keeps us and directs us and strengthens us to walk each and every day with Him. And so we turn back here once again to this 19th verse of chapter 6. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of the flesh. For ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity. Even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. Our God has died on the cross for us. Son of God has purchased us. We just need to come by faith and then begin that wonderful walk. And then He keeps us. He seals us. For when we were servants of sin, you were freed from righteousness. You see, there's no middle ground. You're either son of God or the son of the devil. A lot of people try to think and believe they're kind of halfway between. But there is no middle ground. You can't live a good life. You can't clean your life up. You just can't do it. And so there's no middle ground. And so you're son of God, the son of God or the son of the devil. You're either possessing the divine nature that God gives upon salvation, or you're still holding on to the old nature. What fruit had ye then, this is verse 21, what fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things were death. Everything that you did prior to salvation was unto death, not life. You thought, boy, I had a lot of fun and I got to do a lot of things. Death. That's everything you were doing was bringing you closer, for the end of those things is death. That's the only thing that's there. Death. That's all that's there is just death. But now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. You see that the change there, we have been made new. The only thing we still have is the flesh, and that fights us all the time. But as far as my heart is concerned, it has been made new through and by the Lord Jesus Christ, and He lives within my heart. What a wonderful opportunity that we have. You know, we look back to the old life here in verse 21, you know, all the labor, all the service, everything that we did. And then we come and it says, but now in verse 22. What a wonderful comment there. But now, because it's so important that we don't miss the opportunity to walk with the Lord Jesus, to serve the Lord Jesus. And so, but now being made free from sin, we have the power, we still have the opportunity to yield to whichever we want. You want to yield to sin or yield to righteousness and godliness? The opportunity for the first time is there to turn to righteousness, because we have a power within us now that gives us that opportunity to turn to righteousness. Have never had it before. Never had it until the day you were born again. And if you're not born again, then you still don't have it. And you're dying in your sin. You're dead in your sin. You have no hope. That's the reason I want you to turn to Jesus. I want you to come by faith to the Lord Jesus. I want you to walk with Him. It's so important. Being made free from sin, become servants to God. Ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. Is there any thought that one isn't greater than the other? Well, I don't want to give up the things I do. You're dead. You have no life. None. I ask you that you would awaken. For the wages of sin is death. It doesn't get any clearer than that. In the 23rd verse, the cost, the wages of sin is death. And that word sin there, you'll notice, is singular. Singular. No man, no angel ever sinned one single sin and got away with it. Never. All men have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. We studied that some time ago, didn't we? Let's turn back there. Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For all have sinned. Please, that you look to the Lord Jesus Christ. The only way to escape damnation of our sin is to receive the gift of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what that 23rd verse says. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God's eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Do you like a company that you work for to pay you wages? Well, understand that sin pays wages. It does. Sin pays wages. And let me just give you a small idea of what we're talking about. Eternal death pays eternal death. It also pays eternal separation from God. It pays eternal separation from everything beautiful, from everything that's wonderful. Eternal separation from the glories of heaven. Eternal separation from all godly loved ones. You have no idea what you have right now, being alive, being here, because of the influence that the Holy Spirit that lives within the believers, that great influence that you are getting, having the advantage of, even though you're refusing it. It's kind of like when it rains on the just and the unjust. The Holy Spirit, as is present here, the Holy Spirit is in every believer. And because of the presence of the church, which is every believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, is a member of the church, God's church. Jesus Christ is the head of it. And as we look at that and understand that the lost, and maybe it's including you, that you are getting great blessings because of the presence of God here. But there's a time that presence will be gone. Be gone during the tribulation period when the church is raptured and leaves. Be gone whenever you die without the Lord Jesus. The devil is a liar. What does it take to make us feel good? What kinds of things in this world makes you feel good? Is it possessions of some sort or other, something you buy? Or maybe it's, I can't wait to get home to have a drink. Maybe it's the drugs. Maybe it's cigarettes. What is it that kind of satisfies you, kind of makes you feel good? Well, there's not one thing there that's not killing you physically. But you're already dead spiritually. You need the Lord Jesus Christ. The devil pays. Sin pays wages. And the devil pays. All right, let me show you. We've talked about eternal death, eternal separation. But also here, the devil pays everlasting torment. You receive that. Everlasting misery. You have that. Everlasting woe. You have that. Everlasting pain. The devil pays sin wages in fire and brimstone. Oh, don't you want the love of Jesus? Will you please recognize the direction you're going in and you need to turn around right now. You need to say yes to the Lord Jesus Christ and be born again. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?